Today, Into the Storm, what next? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. And this is our weekly market update where we start in the US, go across to Europe, Asia, and end in Australia, and also cover crypto and commodities. Now, an unusually strong solar storm hit the Earth overnight, producing northern lights in the US and Europe and southern lights across Australia, including Queensland. Bright auroras were visible at unusually low latitudes. The G5 geomagnetic conditions could potentially disrupt power and communications, with warnings to governments and critical infrastructure operators about the potential impacts on infrastructure and essential services. Now, this all reminded me that things can be unpredictable, and markets risk surprises in the weeks and months ahead, as central banks who created the massive inflation storm by their own actions try to reverse the effects through higher for longer interest rates. And meantime, government debt continues to rise together with the costs of debt servicing, and many ordinary households are caught in the crossfire. And yet, financial markets are still hopeful. On Friday, shares in New York were modestly higher, with techs somewhat lagging. But all three indices were up for the week, with the blue chip Dow nabbing its largest Friday-to-Friday percentage advance since mid-December. The benchmark S&P 500 was up 9% for the year, up near its late March record high, following a 5% pullback that occurred last month. The S&P 500 gained 0.2% to 5,222.68. The Dow Jones was 0.32% higher, while the Nasdaq Composite slipped. The bounce overlapped a stronger than expected first quarter reporting season for US companies, with well over 80% of the S&P 500 having reported results. Companies are on track to have increased earnings by 7.8%. That's well ahead of the April expectations of 5.1% growth. Standouts include generally strong reports from most of the so-called Magnificent Seven tech and growth giants, whose shares helped propel the markets higher last year and continues to have a huge weighting in the S&P 500. Nvidia, by the way, is the last in the group to report, which will be on May the 22nd. Analysts are becoming more upbeat about mega-cap financial prospects. In fact, estimates for 2024 earnings for the six mega-cap companies that have reported have risen by 2.1% on average over the past 30 days versus just a 0.1% rise in 2024 earnings for the S&P 500 overall. Still, investors have punished companies whose results missed expectations. These shares have underperformed the market by 3.2% over the quarter, compared to 1.2% the previous quarter, according to a report from Societe Generale. Economic data continues to be mixed, with initial jobless claims figures increased to 231,000, that exceeded expectations of 210,000, and rising from last week's 209,000. The growth in jobless claims has heightened concerns about a potential easing in the labour market conditions in the US. The number of applications for unemployment benefits surged to its highest level since August 2023, exerting downward pressure on US Treasury yields and the US dollar. Cooling US data fuels speculation that the Federal Reserve may consider lowering the base rate sooner. Elsewhere, University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index tumbled 13% to 67.4 in May, from 77.2 in April. Both the Current Economic Conditions Index and the Index of Consumer Expectations also fell. While consumers have been reserving judgment for the past few months, they now perceive negative developments on a number of dimensions, the university said. They express worries about inflation, unemployment, and interest rates may all be moving in an unfavorable direction in the year ahead. Year-ahead inflation expectations rose from 3.2% last month to 3.5% this month, still remaining above the 2.3% to 3% seen in the last 2 years prior to the pandemic. Long-run inflation expectations inched up from 3% last month to 3.1% this month, although they've been within the narrow 2.9% to 3.1% range for 30 of the last 34 months, long-run inflation expectations remain elevated relative to the 2.2% to 2.6% range seen in the 2 years pre-pandemic. In a note, Oxford Economics said, with layoffs still very low, we are not overly concerned about the health of the labour market, and a cooler labour market is needed to bring wage growth back down to rates consistent with the Fed's 2% target inflation rate. More downward readings on the labour market are a good reminder that the Fed is concerned about the balance of risks to the economy, and these softer readings add to the case for cutting rates later this year. Thus, the more extreme views that the Fed won't cut rates but raise them seems to have moderated somewhat, with yields on bonds lower. The two-year was at 4.872%, having been briefly above 5% last week, while the 10-year was at 4.5%. The key focus next week is the release of the US April CPI on Wednesday. Estimates vary, but Cleveland's Fed nowcast estimates a rise of around 0.4% month over month, seasonally adjusted for headline CPI, and 0.3% for core CPI, excluding food and energy. A reading in line with expectations, and hence the recent trend, or hotter yet, would probably offer further motivation for FOMC officials to take an axe to the March dot plot when they publish another one next month. Some investors worry that the stock rally could stall without evidence that inflation is cooling down. And while Fed Chair Jerome Powell has reassured markets the central bank is unlikely to raise rates anytime soon, months of strong inflation have led to concerns that policymakers will not cut them this year. Markets have put September back in play, but much will hinge on the inflation outlook in the months ahead. Next week's US Consumer Price Index will be a litmus test, according to TD Securities strategists. Meanwhile, the Bank of Canada released its financial stability review on Thursday, and Central Bank Governor there, Tiff Macklem, emphasised that Canada's financial system remains resilient, but he warns about potential market volatility as expectations evolve regarding the extent and timing of rate cuts. Macklem also noted that financial institutions need to adapt to high rates and potential shocks, which pose risk to financial stability. Still, growth in crude oil prices, the main Canadian export, may support the Canadian dollar and limit the US dollar-Canadian dollar gains. The Bank of Canada kept rates unchanged at 5% for a sixth straight time at the April meeting and is under pressure to ease rates as inflation falls lower. But the Bank of Canada does remain cautious as policymakers are reluctant to lower rates before they are confident of sustained price stability around the 2% inflation target. At the press conference after the April announcement, Governor Macklem said that a June rate cut was, quote, within the realm of possibilities, which wasn't much of an endorsement. The Bank of Canada would prefer not to cut before the Federal Reserve, since that would push the Canadian dollar lower and likely boost inflation. At the same time, the Bank of Canada is under pressure to ease the pain of households that have been hit hard by elevated rates and will likely press the rate trigger ahead of the Fed if it feels that inflation is low enough. The Canadian dollar was almost unchanged on Friday. Now, European stock markets rose on Friday as stronger-than-expected UK growth data added to the wider positive sentiment and posted their biggest weekly gains since January after a slew of better-than-expected earnings reports. The Stocks Europe 600 index was up 0.8% by the close in London, scaling yet another record and taking its weekly advance to 3%. The UK's FTSE, France's CAC 40, and Germany's DAX also scaled record peaks. The UK's run higher comes as data show the economy bounced back strongly from a shallow recession at the end of last year. Data released on Friday showed that Britain's economy grew by a relatively healthy 0.6% in the first 3 months of 2024, above the expected 0.4%, ending the shallow recession it experienced in the second half of last year. On a monthly basis, the economy grew by 0.4% in March, faster than the expected 0.1% growth, and the Bank of England held interest rates at a 16-year high on Thursday. But two of the nine-person committee that decides the appropriate level for rates voted to cut as the bank took another step towards lowering interest rates. Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey said that there could be more reductions than investors expect, the latest sign of the growing divergence between Europe and US rate outlooks. UK gilts have lost investors 3.1% this year, compared with 2.1% losses in the US and 1.2% in the Eurozone, but the yield on Britain's rate-sensitive two-year gilt slipped after the Bank of England decision as debt prices firmed slightly. it was last at 4.3450. Sweden cut rates for the first time since 2016 as the Riksbank cut its benchmark rate to 3.75%, while Switzerland, of course, had already cut back in March. The European Central Bank published the account of its last monetary policy meeting. The central bank has already signalled a rate cut is probably coming in June, and traders currently anticipate roughly 42 basis points of cuts this year from the Fed. In comparison, traders are pricing in 55 basis points of easing from the Bank of England this year and anticipating 68 basis points of cuts from the ECB. The markets now imply a 50-50 chance of a Bank of England cut in June and almost fully priced for August, and they also imply an 88% chance the European Central Bank will ease in June. So the question of how independently will other central banks move their base rates ahead of the Fed comes more into view. And more broadly, the question is the US exceptionalism trade failing? Europe is really accelerating, albeit from a weaker base at a time when the US economy is cooling from a stronger starting point, said Hugh Gimber, global market strategist at JP Morgan Asset Management. It turns out that European economies are weaker and the US is more resilient to interest rate increases, so Europe finds itself in a position to cut rates ahead of the Federal Reserve, said David Bassanese, chief economist at BetaShares. The dollar index that measures the US currency against a basket of six peers gained 0.07% to 105.29, and the euro slid 0.1% to 1.077. Oil prices fell a little, as comments from federal officials indicated higher for longer interest rates, which could hint at demand from the world's largest crude consumers. US crude futures fell 1.34% to settle at $79.17 a barrel, and Brent settled down 1.31% to $82.78 a barrel, but notched a positive week following big gains earlier in the week amid fading hopes of a Gaza ceasefire and easing concerns about demand. Both benchmark contracts posted gains of around 2% across the week, boosted by stronger than expected overall import data from China, the world's biggest oil importer. Signs of strong domestic demand pushed up hopes that oil demand will start picking up in the Asian giant. Additionally, US crude inventories surprisingly fell last week, and refining and fuel demand is set to increase, tracking higher travel demand during summer. The number of oil rigs operating in the US fell by 3 to 496. That's the lowest since November, well below the 586 seen at the same time last year. And also supporting prices this week has been talk that the OPEC Plus group will continue to roll out output cuts in an attempt to limit global supply. Gold prices rose en route to the best week in five, with US gold futures for June delivery settling 1.13% higher at $2,366 per ounce. In Asia, more Japanese yen weakness looks likely, according to the Bank of American Securities, citing its latest foreign exchange and rate sentiment survey. The US dollar and Japan yen traded 0.21% higher at 155.78, with the pair having gained just under 2% this week as yen weakness returned. Japanese authorities seem to have spent almost $60 billion the previous week to pull the yen away from its 34-year low of 160.24 versus the dollar. And with the US dollar yen breaching new highs in April, investors have flipped to the largest Japan yen short since 2022, and there is a deep skepticism around the effectiveness of Japan's foreign exchange interventions. Many expect the Japanese yen US dollar to retest 160. The Nikkei, though, was up 0.49% to 38,250, while the Kospi was up 0.57% and the Indian Nifty 50 was up 0.44%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 2.3%, while the Shanghai Composite was flat, as was the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300. China's trade balance grew less than expected in April, recovering only partially from a sharp fall in the prior month, as a mild increase in exports was largely offset by a substantially bigger than expected jump in imports. China's trade balance was a surplus of $73.35 billion in April, according to data from the Customs Administration released on Thursday. The reading was weaker than expected, but recovered from the $58.55 billion reading seen in March. Thursday's readings showed some improvement in trading activities, particularly exports, after the country's trade balance plummeted to a four-month low in March, hit chiefly by a sharp decline in exports. Exports rose 1.5% year-on-year in April, compared to expectations of a rise of 1%. They had tumbled 7.5% in March, but any increase in exports was largely offset by a bumper increase in Chinese imports. Imports surged 8.4% in April, blowing past expectations for a rise of 5.4%, and also recovered from the 1.9% drop seen in March. The outsized print was in part driven by a weaker base for comparison from the prior year, but also indicated some recovery in domestic demand amid improving economic conditions. China's economy picked up its pace in the first quarter of 2024, aided by sustained stimulus measures and some improvements in business activity. This in turn factored into increased domestic demand. Now in Australia, the benchmark ASX 200 rebounded 0.4% to 7,749 on Friday, and the All Ords gained 0.4%. Out of the 11 sectors, 7 flash green, with energy as a standout performer. Shares in Beach Energy jumped 4% to $1.69. Santos rallied 2.1% to $7.86. And Woodside gained 1.9% to $28.63. The gains helped extend the ASX's 200 weekly advance to 1.6% for a third straight week of gains, as signs of a loosening in the US labor market stoked optimism around interest rate cuts this year. Elsewhere on the ASX on Friday, tech and materials were a drag. Family tracking app Life360 shed 2.5% to $15.11 after affirming earnings loss guidance of up to $13 million US in 2024. The four big banks rebounded from the previous session, with Westpac and ANZ rallying more than 1%, while CBA added 0.6%, and National Australia Bank rose 0.9%. Macquarie, who reported a significant profit drop as big dips in the investment bank's asset management and commodities divisions failed to match the better performance in its banking and capital markets arms, was at $193.27. And Perpetual was at $22.15 after the deal was announced on Wednesday to sell Perpetual's corporate trust and wealth businesses, as well as its brand, to private capital giant KKR. The demise of Perpetual, like the fall of AMP before it, also tells a bigger story about the challenging nature of Australia's financial services sector, the growing scale and power of the superannuation sector, and the rise of passive investing and private capital, and the global struggle to make the listed funds management model work. And in corporate news, regional lender Suncorp shaved 0.67% to 1625 as it reported an $85 million increase in past due loans in the March quarter. An insurance group QBE eked out a small gain of 0.1% to $70.61 in a choppy session after confirming its gross written premium is expected to grow in the mid-single digits. Money market futures imply a 27% chance the RBA will lift the cash rate to 4.6% by August, although most economists believe that the next rate move will be down. That's after the RBA kept the cash rate at 4.35%, but Governor Michelle Bullock said that the board considered a rise. Australia may be one of the later movers because unemployment is still low and inflation is certainly still higher, said David Bassanese. The Aussie dollar was at 66.03 cents against the US dollar and 52.71 against the UK pound. And finally, in crypto, Bitcoin remains range-bound, as traders remained largely adverse to crypto markets, even as soft US labor data pulled down the dollar and reinforced bets on eventual interest rate cuts this year. Fears of more regulatory action against crypto were a key weight on prices this week, amid reports of more moves by the US Securities and Exchange Commission against major players in crypto. The shutdown of a popular privacy coin trading platform also rattled sentiment. Bitcoin was last trading down 3.62% at $60,862. Sustained outflows from crypto investment products, particularly spot Bitcoin exchange-traded funds, also weighed on the token over the past 3 weeks. The token, which had fallen down to $57,000 US last week, entered a technical bear market from its March highs. And while Bitcoin has since recovered from those lows, any further gains in the currency were largely stymied by concerns over more regulatory scrutiny against crypto. The shutdown of Local Monero, a popular platform for peer-to-peer trades of the Monero privacy coin, rattled sentiment. And the SEC this week postponed the planned public listing of crypto wallet operator Exeter's movement on the New York Exchange. This came as trading at Robinhood Markets said it was facing potential regulatory action from the SEC over crypto tokens trading its platform. And the SEC has also postponed a decision on spot Ethereum ETFs to June and is then expected to reject applications for the offering, given that it is also reportedly pursuing an investigation of whether the world's number two token is a security or not. The regulator has similar cases against exchange Coinbase Global and XRP issuer Ripple. Ethereum was down 4.29%, while Solana fell 6.17%. So standing back, more uncertainty, more lack of clarity about where things are going, whilst the stock markets are still significantly overvalued. And drawing that analogy with the solar event that we saw over the weekend, it seems to me that there is significant uncertainty ahead. I still think markets are well overvalued, and I still think the pace of interest rate cuts may be slower than many expect. So more uncertainty ahead, time again to watch and wait, I think. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.